Lord, thank you so much for an opportunity to minister to each other, right? Folks, if you're not here to minister to one another, you're in the wrong building. I love you guys, and I know you do a lot of ministering. I know you do. Just sometimes it's good to hear the reminder, right? Last week, Pastor Gary said to us, he closed with, see the gospel spread globally, pray diligently, and be a part of the partnership, right? That's what we're called to do. As members of the church, that's what we're called to do. Let me ask you, what are you obligated to today? I mean, just take a moment. I know we got a little map, and I know Gary and his theory about maps, and he's not wrong. But just before you look up there, think about, I know we've all been doing it. Oh, I got groceries I got to buy. I got to do the laundry before the week starts. What are you obligated to? I'm going to give you half a second. Write it down, you know. Get it down quick. Just what am I obligated to do today? What are you eager to do today? Man, I hope I get to. I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to going out to lunch, y'all, because it is Sunday. What are you unashamed about? Do those three things combine? Someone down up front here said they're obligated to God. Did that come up to you just because we're sitting here in church? Last week, Pastor Gary gave us this map, right? And he gave us the list of all our missionaries that we're currently supporting, right? And he told you there, that is just the current list. That is not the historical list. Carla, Tim, and I are part of your historical list. You supported us while we were in Pennsylvania. We moved from Lake County 14 years ago, something like that. And even prior to that, with Mike Leon, who leads worship, not Eric, but Mike. He and I started we had a college group here, and then my wife and I would do college at our house, and it would grow to like 30 people on a weekly basis. People would call the church office here and talk to Kathy Jones. We got one young adult. What does Grace Church do with theirs? And Kathy would just give out our address and say if they show up on a Monday night, they'll get a Bible study and a meal. We never knew who was knocking on our door on Monday night. Never. It was awesome. Your training was part of that. Grace Church's training of Carla and I as young adults was part of that. And then we would move to Nashville. Notice there's no arrow, no star near Nashville. We weren't missionaries then. We just moved because the Lord moved us. And this is our college young adult group there. This is like maybe one-third the group, maybe. Even just pictured, you've got the guy next to the clock. He and his wife ran a homeless ministry out of their house. You got the lady standing in front of a young, beautiful Carla sitting down there. She is now working at a church who is very much a part of, if I'm not mistaken, the YouVersion of your Bible app. You know the Bible app, YouVersion? That's the church she works for. She works in that department. The young man sitting in the foreground is currently discipling a ton of young high school, almost men's. The guy in the very, very back, he's always been a guy who is quick to give a spiritual conversation to anyone who will sit long enough to hear him. Not pictured, you've got a gal who worked at a Christian radio station on the overnight shift. There's more. Down here, this is when we were missionaries in Pennsylvania, where you supported us. Notice there's no star in Pennsylvania. This is the group after a year. This group started, or two, this might be year two. This group started with six people. You were part of that. This group grew to the largest group on campus to be 60 people. It was larger than the football team. Pictured here, you have someone who's gone to Uganda, someone who's gone to South Korea. There was another person who went to South Korea, and he would minister to North Koreans who would secretly cross the border, get trained in Christianity discipleship stuff, and then they would sneak back across the border into North Korea. You were part of that. You're part of that partnership. Let's see, what else I got? I got, there's two guys being trained as pastors, one of which you've probably even met maybe, if you've been to family camp. Aaron and his wife, Brianna. Brianna's the one about ready to, like, stage dive. But he took over this ministry while it was 60 people deep. He was busy discipling people and has passed it off to someone else now. You are part of that. So take all those arrows, and now let's just pretend that their ministry was reasonably ineffective, and each person only had three arrows from each of those stars. Currently, we make a big, deep impact when we disciple. When we're willing, if you want to have an impactful life, I want my life to have meaning, I want it to have purpose, I want it to be impactful, discipleship is your answer. And you are going to disciple them to disciple others, so that way your impact, God's impact, impacts more of the world. Are they perfect people? No. I've got two that are pictured who had kids out of wedlock. I have one who tried to commit suicide as a Christian. I have several who are divorced. It happens. People are people. People are people. We live in a fallen, broken world. Things happen. Was it sad? Was it upsetting to me as the discipler, the missionary? Absolutely. Hey, you know what? That guy who trains people for North Korea, sends them back out, guess what? In this stage of his life, he broke up a very serious relationship that was 1 month from being married. People who are pictured. And yet now, he's married, does a great job. He called me, said, hey, I was in the wrong, whatever. But people are people. If your hope is in people, you're going to be disappointed. Any of us recognize that in here? Okay. Just making sure I'm preaching to the right crowd. All right. So we're going to be in Romans 1, verses 14 and 17. 14, 2 to 17. Let me pray. I feel like because I didn't pray, I'm a little thrown off my gears here. So I'm going to pray for us. Father, I just thank you as we open up your word. May your word speak to our hearts. May you speak to the hearts of the people here, Father. May they hear from you. Thank you for this time. In your name, amen. So, Romans 1, 14 through 17. This is going to be very familiar territory if you're involved in Awana. Who is involved in Awana in some shape or form? Raise it high. Be unashamed. Raise it high. Right? What is it? Workers. What is it? How was this acronym for Awana? Anyone? Approved workmen, not ashamed, right? I think we're missing an A in there somewhere, but that's okay. Yeah, is that right? Are not ashamed. There we go. Proper English. I don't have proper English, and that's why. So you saw all those hands go up. You guys know this verse. Why? Because that little acronym comes from this verse. Don't check out. Because I am not going to go where you think I'm going to go with this verse. Okay? Romans 1, 14, if you haven't opened your Bibles yet, this is now the time. Romans 1, 14, verses 14 to 17. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Paul here feels obligated, eager, and unashamed. Just like we talked about earlier. He's obligated, he's eager, and he's unashamed. Being obligated is not necessarily a bad thing, people. As we see here. It's not a bad thing. Now, sometimes people will make the argument, historically speaking, well, Paul is feeling obligated to the people who rescued him from his shipwreck. Okay? Because this is after shipwreckness. Okay? This is after his life is cast away and his movie debut in Wilson. Okay? He's been rescued. People will argue, well, that's where his obligation is. Well, partly. I think I'm willing to make the case that God, writing through Paul, is trying to make a bigger point here. A point that alludes to something much larger. I mean, in a worldly sense, yes, Paul may have been under some sort of obligation to Greeks and barbarians who rescue him. But I feel like he's trying to repay those physical rescuers and be their spiritual rescuers. It's part of a much larger calling to a much larger audience because of a much larger obligation. Christ paid a debt he could not pay. Christ paid the debt Paul could not pay. Christ was the only person who could pay that debt. He is obligated to that sense. Why? Because he came to a saving knowledge of Christ. That saving knowledge transforms Paul. Let's not forget, Paul was a murderous, treacherous, scheming, well-pleased with people who murdered other people, Saul. That's his background. But praise Jesus, Christ has an effect on his life in a very personal way and transforms Paul into this apostle. Like we read a couple weeks ago, he's called as an apostle, set aside, right? Because of that transformation, Paul is eager. Eager. Carl and I used to, when we lived in Virginia, we went to a mega church, people, an actual mega church, 1,000-plus people per service. Okay, it's a mega church. There was someone who down front, and she would sign, right? For those of you who had no ASL, I'm sorry, this is offensive. Right, but she'd be down here, and she would sign first service, and she'd be all into it like real ASL people are supposed to be. Second service would roll in, and it would be her time to worship. Now, it was a mega church, but their worship services were kind of like ours, right? People, if anything, they had the kind of little bit of the Christian bop going, right? That was about it. And charismatic, you know, you're bopping. No. But this lady, front row, front and center, she'd be in it, dancing to the Lord. Now, some might argue, are you wanting the attention on yourself, lady? Are you trying to direct attention from God to you? I don't know that lady's story. Love always hopes. My hope is that lady was transformed and just made her eager. That she was obligated to be eager about her worship to the Lord because she'd been forgiven much. Right. That's what I got to sit on. That's my camp. Love always hopes. Have you ever felt so obligated? You had to do something, but it was a joy to do? Parenting. Y'all are laughing, right? But ever do something you felt obligated to do, but it was just a joy to do it? Like truly and honestly, right? It's like when you love somebody and you gotta, you just, man, you gotta let the world know. You gotta let them know, and just letting that one person know is not good enough. I'm kind of pointing around you, Heather. You got Carla sitting right behind you. You gotta let that one person know, but you gotta let everybody know. That person is the best thing since sliced bread, and y'all are knuckleheads for not asking her out first. So this, I'll give you this picture. My wife and I finally were able to take a vacation without the boy. And my wife was sitting on a couch one day, and she said, oh, I want to go here. It was a picture of Norway. I said, book tickets, just like that fast. And she like almost spilled her coffee on the couch. I was like, look, we never do anything for birthdays or anniversaries. 20th is coming up. That's a big deal. Let's do something. So she books tickets to Norway. Fast forward. We're driving through Norway. Yes. We went to a vacation in a puzzle. Right? You'd find this at grandma's house. I got to put that together during the Christmas holiday. That's what is a little, you can't see them because they're hidden behind the trees over here like a you know, picturesque farming village, green sheep, red barns. That little white dot behind the mountain back there, that is not a cloud. That is a glacier that you drive under to get to this point. It was amazing. Carla was screaming, they're not going to see it. They're not going to see it. People driving the other way. I'm like, honey, they live here. They see that thing every other day. But can you go back a slide for me there, Mike? Perfect. Notice the road. That road is big enough for maybe a car, and that's two-way traffic, people. That's Norway. This is Norway. Notice the little goat path you get to walk down if you really want to walk. That house in the background, I'm going to buy that house. Why? Because on our 20th anniversary, we stopped. We had to. We renewed our vows right there on the side of the road. It wasn't as awe as you think it was. We pull out, and I asked Carla, I said, will you be my wife, lawfully wedded wife, for the next 20 years? And she goes, yeah. Now, those of you men in the crowd, you look at a view like this, and you're like, oh, no, there's got to be some echo there, right? And so Carla asked me, and I was like, yes! You got to. When you are unashamed, you will do things that are a little outlandish. You will do things a little more eccentrically. You want everyone to know. Shouldn't that be reflective of our love for Christ? Shouldn't it be? We get to wake up. You woke up again. For some of you, oh, I woke up again. No, you get to wake up again. You get to share Christ's love with people. He first loved us, and so we are obligated. But it's no drudgery. We get to want to have to. Do you follow that logic? I'll say it again. I've said it a time or two here. You get to, want to, have to. You get to want to have to. For Paul, this was a strong sense of his calling, and it motivated him towards people outside the Jewish faith. His calling was to Gentiles. Well, who are we really talking about? He makes mention of them. Greeks, barbarians, the wise, and the foolish. Okay? Greeks, the barbarians, the wise, and the foolish. Understand, Greece at this point was part of Roman control. Okay? But both the Greeks and the Romans, they were known as high society type of culture. Right? They were intelligentsia. They were sophisticated. They looked down their noses at everybody else because they just weren't as smart, frankly. You've got the barbarians, uncultured, rash, doing things that other people would be like, even the Greeks and the Romans, which is saying something. You've got the wise and the foolish. I mean, this could be a direct correlation, truly. Greeks are wise, barbarians are foolish. But I think God, again, is trying to use a double... Lord. Powers, it's okay. So, like the wise and the foolish, right? Could be a direct correlation. Or the Lord could be making a double meaning. Because I guarantee you at this, the readers, the original readers, would they know that there were some foolish Greeks? Yes. Would they be willing to admit that there might be a very wise barbarian out there? Yes. And I think Paul is writing this to make sure that there's nothing misconstrued. He even grabs a hold of all the people in the middle. Right? Because if I said to you as a crowd, man, I love all of y'all from the wise to the foolish. I'm willing to admit some of you, like me, fool. Some of you on other Sundays might be like, ooh, I'm the wise one around here. Y'all are knuckleheads. But for most of us, we'd probably place ourselves somewhere in the middle. And you would hope, love would always hope, that the pastor who says, I love all y'all from the wise to the foolish, you're pretty much hoping that I'm lumping you in with the wise people, right? I think that's what he's doing. He's lumping everybody in there because he makes it personal. He makes it personal. To you also who are in Rome, wherever you wind up on that, whether you're a Greek or a barbarian, whether you're wise or foolish or anywhere in between. Because he recognizes that everybody needs what Paul has, the Holy Spirit. He recognizes they need to hear what he's got to say because what he's got to say is the gospel, and the gospel equals power, period. He's eager to preach the gospel. He's not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Saved and unsaved, everyone needs that power. For the saved, think about it. How often are we like encouraged just to hear the stories of how faith is working its way out in the world, that the gospel is being spread and things like that? I mean, just think about my story about just a few people that we've worked with in the past. Y'all got encouraged, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Way to go. For the unsaved... For the unsaved, it's eternity-changing power. It'll change your eternity. That's an awesome thing to think about. Thinking about as a partnership, thinking about all the eternity we have changed. I mean, that one of those guys that's being a pastor was into like horror flicks of all things, like gory horror, like the worst end of that. But now, he wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole because the gospel, even for the saved, is transformative. Yes? Now, let me ask you, what is the gospel? If I were to tell you, hey, go explain the gospel to that person, would you immediately run to your testimony? There's a difference, isn't there? There's your testimony, which is the gospel's power of working through you, and then there is the gospel. Undiluted, unmuddied, it's simple. We've got a couple of verses. And I purposely chose these verses because we're coming across them here in another couple of months, depending upon how long Gary takes to get his way through the book of Romans. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Straightforward. Everybody. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did it before you ever even thought of him. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, that's hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beautiful. Man, that's simple. Now, I've put Romans 8:38 in here as a bonus. I'm a teacher. I always like giving kids bonuses. I think this is important. For I am convinced, so am I, Paul was and so am I, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now you know why I'm not a worship pastor. I mean, it's important to understand that. I think when giving someone the gospel, that, hey, you're going to make this decision and nothing's going to break that up. You can't foul that up. Satan can't foul that up. And then Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen and amen. That's simple. That's the gospel. Do you need it even simpler? Admit you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and confess him as Lord and Savior of your life. Believe that he died for your sins. There we go. I got so excited about the last part. Confess him as your Lord and Savior. Simple. That's it. That's it. We don't need to dress it up. That's it. We're just going to bring us to our last verse, verse 17. So we just don't lose track about what we're talking about. It says in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. The it is the gospel. It's the gospel. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Now, here's where you need a little touch of Greek. I'm not going to give you the Greek because nobody needs it, okay? But having a little bit of sprinkling of it helps. Faith to faith. This faith and the next faith, that one really should have been blue, but I didn't make it blue enough. From faith to faith. Those two words are the same words but different endings. Same root word, different endings for faith. Pistios and pistin. The first one, the ending, purposely conveys an idea that it's giving what it's got to something else. The second one is saying it's receiving something from something else. So the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. One faith that's giving it away to another faith that's receiving it. Does that make sense? I haven't lost anybody on the English at 10 o'clock in the morning, have I? Believe it or not, we ran into this giving type of faith, this giving away type of faith last week. We were encouraged by the faith of somebody else, hearing the stories of somebody else, the partnership with somebody else. We are encouraged by that. It's giving it away so that we will be encouraged by it. And then we see here in verse 17, this last faith, it's the same thing. It's the same ending. But the righteous man shall live by a giving away faith. We're going to disciple. We're going to disciple. It's the same ending. And his last part, this quote, no matter where you are this morning, this quote is talking to you. Whether you are in a good place, a bad place, a hurting place, maybe you're just kind of keeping status quo kind of place, doesn't matter. This quote is from Habakkuk. Who's read Habakkuk lately? Oh, I got one. Nice. Danny, Habakkuk, things were not going so well in Habakkuk, huh? No, it's one of those books. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you Israelites, never can get it straight. Oh, we never get it straight. Habakkuk is telling them the righteous will live by faith. They will give it away to encourage others, to make others faithful. No matter what your scenario, the Lord wants you to give that kind of faith away. He wants you to share it. He wants you to steward it. Can you do that this morning? God's gospel is the power for salvation. Be the Christian you are blessed to be. What does that mean? Can you step up your game a little bit? That's not a judgment thing. That's just a generic question. Where in your life can you step up your Christian game a little bit? Who do you particularly feel obligated towards? And let me say this, beyond your own family. Like, that's a good obligation to be part of. Don't get me wrong. Do that. But also think beyond your own household. Who are you obligated to? Are you eager to share the gospel with them? If not, pray God will change your wanter. I'll say that again. Pray that God changes your wanter. Be eager to share the gospel with people. Is the hope of the gospel important enough to you and me to be eager to share it with others? Share it with those around you. If we let sin have its ultimate power and authority in our lives, I'll say that again because maybe you missed it, because that sounds very Christian-like. If God's going to have the ultimate power and authority, I'm using if sin has its ultimate power and authority in your life, which it shouldn't, it will make you ashamed of the gospel. And if you don't have all three, you're in dangerous territory. If you don't have an obligation, an eagerness, and an unashamedness about your Christian walk, you're on treacherous territory. Have all three. Don't let sin have its ultimate power over you. Let Christ have his ultimate power abundantly expressed and shown through you. Reflect the love of Christ to the people around you. That love was sacrificial. If I can have the men come forward, we're going to remember Christ's sacrifice for us. His love was sacrificial. He gave his body up for us. He became sin who knew no sin so that we may become the righteousness of God through Christ. Father, I just pray as we pass the elements out, refresh our memory of our first love for you. Remind us how much we really need you. Forgive us, Father, for where we've fallen short. In your name, amen. Here at Grace Church, we do practice communion as such, that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, feel free to enjoy communion with us. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's okay. There ain't no judgment. Just let the dish pass on by. This is the body of Christ, given up for the forgiveness of sins. Now the blood of Christ, symbol of the new covenant. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and mercy in our lives. The sanctity that comes from a life lived in service to you. Father, we pray that we would all be found righteous in the blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank you for your kindness. Father, be with us as we strive to make your kingdom great. Help us to encourage others to have a fruitful relationship with you. In your name, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad you came today. I hope you are too. Serious. Stay healthy, wash your hands, and drive safe and have a fantastic Sunday.